I am ready.
Hey, this is Sam Witwer and
Sam Huntington
and Megan Raff
and Sarah Allen.
Whee! And we are here with the actor commentary for Being Human episode.
Oh my god. We should have said, warning, back away from your computers.
Sorry about that.
Were we right about that? Is that the name of this episode?
I hope so. It better be. I think so.
Okay.
We'll sounds right.
We'll never even know.
You know what? We're going to find out. We'll totally correct it when they put the title on the screen.
No, they never do.
Do they not?
Put the title on the screen.
Oh, so we're not going to find out.
No.
This is episode 6, but.
Who's that guy?
It's a good looking guy.
That guy's got look at that guy's gape.
He's got a great gait.
Oh, yeah. Just
thinking what are you about listening something?
To? Thinking.
Yeah. I always listen to a mixture of stuff. Actually, here's a fun fact.
Mm.
I usually would actually listen to music every time you see my earbuds in.
Is it your music?
Yeah, generally speaking, it's my stuff.
What are you listening to?
Like Shania Twain? Shania Twain.
Okay.
A little Aqua?
Uh-huh.
I felt really bad for you, Sarah, because basically you shot this in the same night as we shot most of our love stuff?
Yeah.
From some of the episodes, like us crawling all over each other and blood everywhere. And
it was a really dirty day for me.
Yeah, it was filthy because you had to go find this random dude.
Yeah, I had to find him. I had to find him.
That was actually the hardest part about it.
That was hard. They gave you what? They gave you a few hours.
Yeah, you were actually holding your own audition.
They dropped me off down in the dirty part of town.
Yeah.
And then you had to go and make out with him, and then you had to come make out with me.
You had to film it yourself. They gave you a little camera. It was actually just an old BlackBerry with a camera phone. It was a camera phone.
Yeah. Mm. $300.
Like, yeah.
By the way, I want to point out, JP, he throws it better than Tom Cruise did in Top Gun.
Ooh.
Think about that, because it's very Top Gun, that moment.
He looks so evil when he throws it. Mm-hmm. This is cool what they did with this movie.
No, it's wonderful.
It took 118 takes to get it to bounce on every single step.
Are you serious?
It took a full day to get that shot.
Are you serious?
Full day.
No, they didn't. They did CGI.
That
is sorry,
true.
Guys. So
I actually bought into what you just said.
Yeah.
You're believing it.
118 takes.
I just want to say one thing. Everybody asks me, and I see comments on Twitter, they're wondering why I can hold the ring. And they say that the show just brushes over it.
No, we address it.
Yeah, we talk about it actually in this scene. Like, no one's really sure why it's attached to me, and we think, you know, it was part of me when I died, and it's part of the house, and it's part of all the external things that are Sally as well. So.
Exactly. And I mean, the thing we were talking about last time, that Sally is all these different things, and the ring is definitely a part of her.
It is. It's like an almost physical part of
it. It also speaks to what Sally might be able to do if she was, I don't know, is it that the ring is part of her, or is it that Sally, for whatever reason, has a connection with the object, so without even thinking she can move them, and perhaps she could do other things if she wasn't.
I mean, maybe it's a bit of both.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, that's a great thing. We never explain it.
He just cast the ring off into the river, and now all of a sudden she's got it. Yeah. So it itself has obviously got some kind of...
Or Sally in some way went and retrieved the ring and brought it home.
Exactly. Sally is a diver. No. She's a certified scuba diver. So, all right. So see how I'm wearing a different shirt now? Like, I came down wearing a shirt, and then I went upstairs, and then I came back down. Different shirt. We did that on the landing. I changed my shirt as fast as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And right there, you can't see it. And as fast as I could. And also try to be as quiet and as stealthy as possible, because you guys still had dialogue.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know that we actually ever even got... I think we got it once.
Oh, really?
It was like all in one shot, where I was like, oh.
I remember receiving text messages from Sarah... about how she felt about us watching this. As I remember, you weren't. How did you feel?
I was really excited to watch it.
Yeah, I was really nervous about you guys watching. Actually, more nervous knowing that you guys were watching it that day than I was when I had
actually filming it.
And what they did is, we actually didn't, when we rehearsed and blocked it, they didn't show us the tape till we actually shot it, so they would get
a real reaction.
A shocked reaction.
That's absolutely
true. I was lucky I was sitting down. Oh, come on.
Hey, pow!
Come on.
Ew.
Come on.
Do werewolves get off on
us? Werewolves do.
Whoa, now that's pretty...
What if Josh was just like, oh, I love that.
So did you guys, you know, what the tape is actually way more graphic than they're showing right now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
yeah.
At the end of it, there were... like chunks coming out of your mouth, like God. Which I can only assume was a penis.
Yeah. It was.
She ate his penis.
Oh boy,
it's a delicacy of the vampire world.
Well, you had the decency to chew it before you showed it to us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My parents were on set while we shot the scene.
By the way,
that's right.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, so her parents saw you.
Dana and Gail.
Never met them.
They're amazing.
They met you.
I love that you're... so you don't realize that you change, right? So your eyes are all of a sudden black. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? That's what they call a ghost boner, my friend.
If all those people are listening that follow us on Twitter, you all know what a ghost boner is.
Brave.
Yep, hashtag ghost boner.
This moment I thought was important because Aiden should be... If you follow the whole metaphor of him being a recovering drug addict, he's spent most of his life in a drug haze, and so he does not have the emotional and psychological tools to deal with things. And so this is... not only is it kind of erotic to him and alluring, but it's also horrifying and really, really upsetting. It's all those things at once, and he can't really process it. He doesn't really know how to deal with it. What he can do is he can put it away for long enough to lie to you guys about it and get you out of the room, and then he has a meltdown.
Right.
And you make that transition very well, I must say.
Why, thank you.
Nailed it!
Hey, here she is.
Hager bomb.
Hager.
Hey.
By the way, when we first met Kristen Hager, I believe...
I was in a men's bathroom. We showed up.
I was standing at the urinal next door.
Show up here at 5:00.
Right, exactly. She was shocked to see us.
I'm like, wait, we're working on it.
And I was like, wait a minute. You are perfect for Nora. Do you act? And then, sure enough, we were really lucky. It was a really lucky coincidence.
Wait, okay,
no,
the moment.
But for real though, she had. I was like, dude, there's so many nicknames that you can come up with for Hager. I was like, hey girl. And she was like, I've never heard that.
I'm like, Hager bomb.
I was like, what about Hager bomb? She was like, nope.
And the obvious one.
Hagermeister.
I wonder what people call her.
Kristen. They call her. I swear to God, she was like, I've never heard any of those. I was like, I find that hard to believe, and I don't trust your friends. I don't trust your friends anymore.
Not very creative friends.
Yeah.
Now wait, what was happening in the scene? Was this when you start winning her back a little bit?
Yeah, this is when like I see that there's a window open.
Right.
And so I kind of move in for the kill here in my Joshy way.
Mm. Was this the one where she says, mind you, the audience members, we are watching this without the sound, so...
Yeah.
We're guessing.
We're totally guessing. Something is happening here.
Yeah.
And this is when you said, oh, right, this is the...
Yeah.
I have to eat. I guess I have to eat.
Yeah, she's like, well, I guess I have to eat. And
which,
she fails.
I think you nailed that reaction afterward, because you have to have a reaction of, I think I won, but
exactly.
did I win?
Right. And I love that scene between the two of you that's coming out.
Oh, thanks, yeah. I love this episode. I'm standing up!
By the way, I was so... I felt oddly betrayed by you in this scene. I really did. I really felt like...
Because I was hanging out with Vince.
Because you were hanging out with Vince.
I was hanging out with Vincent on set.
What are you doing?
Usually it's just the two of us.
Right, exactly. Yeah, me and Sarah.
One other actor. I was talking to
him. Me and Sarah were kind of inseparable, and we'd walk around, you know, and we were always kind of talking and stuff like that, and then suddenly, next thing I know, this Vince guy is here. This is
worked well for the scene.
Both of you guys did a good job of making me feel very
Vincent. Vince did a really nice job.
Yeah, and you were fine.
You were fine. You were fine.
This was. I do love the thing that I love about our storyline in this episode is that at different times we try to connect with each other.
Yeah.
And the timing is off every time. Here's a time where I'm trying to get... Oh, by the way, you can see, if you're close, there's makeup on my... right under my left eye. that is actually a cut and a bruise from a fight scene I had with Pellegrino.
Wait, a real life cut and bruise?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Really? Where they actually painted over a bruise over a bruise. I actually had a bruise in the right location.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But yeah, because there's a shot where he hits me and I my face hits the ground and I did that a few times. Like, you shouldn't actually do that. But what I found was so interesting is that there are, you know, here I come to try to connect with you, and then later you try to connect with me, and both times the message is we're trying to get the message through, but the other person is not really ready to hear it when the other person tries to transmit. And, you know, and you ask me if I'm in love with her, and Vince asks you if you're in love with me.
Yeah.
And we both give kind of the same answer, which is like, no.
Why?
Go, she's whatever. Remember Charles Vinname was the director of this episode and episode 5. He, I think he asked, because, you know, we had a different energy in the scene than, say, the energy that he'd seen in other scenes.
Right.
Where Aiden is
that's right.
And I remember him asking me, he goes, so why are you making jokes with Josh? Because he hadn't seen that with us before.
Right.
I said, well, it's a different dynamic one with Josh. He goes, oh, well, do it less cartoonish. By the way, keep these cell phones away.
Yeah,
from
I know, I just noticed that.
We got a little bit of interference. But, which I will do as well.
I'm going to know.
Bring this. But yeah, he asked me to be less of a cartoon, so that was a good piece of advice.
I don't remember that. Really?
Well, because he whispered it to me, so I wouldn't be embarrassed. I don't remember, the first take was way over the top. This was fun.
I like this scene. And then there's a moment in here where it's like, it's not a no. It's not a no.
Mm-hmm. Not a no.
Not a no. It's not a no. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, it's not a no. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, no.
And we went back and forth scene. Like 9 times.
But they used a little bit of it.
They did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are like, I think this is what, uh-oh.
Buster.
What the cat dragged in.
Oh, come on. I thought she was done. I'm kidding. Welcome back, Aslan. Oh, I thought she was done.
Mm.
Oh, I forgot.
You know, we were throwing so many weird looks at each other.
Yeah.
That I wish they made a little bit more of this, that you actually see, and they cut it out, and maybe they, you know, I actually love the way this show is edited, so I have nothing but praise for them. But they're actually, in an earlier cut, I think, you actually see me take the
handkerchief
out of my pocket, which I thought was a great thing that Aiden carries a handkerchief.
And she goes, I love him. He's so old school.
Mm-hmm.
There was a line.
Yeah.
I got that.
Was it a real hanky, or did they just have a Kleenex?
No, it was a hanky.
It was a hanky, yeah.
Why does he even carry that?
And I love how your sister just presumes that everything is fine, no matter what she wants, no matter the fact that you haven't seen each other for 2 years.
I know, right?
Yeah, but I can stay at your place, though, right?
Right. Sorry, I'm also chewing in all of your ears. I'm
always,
eating.
In every commentary.
I know, right?
You're always eating.
It always lands around a meal time.
It does. I already ate.
Lucky.
I had a salad.
That wasn't enough food.
I love this montage. Well,
this is very
cool. Little sequence.
What was it like to play with a prop for the first time?
It was amazing. It was it was the first time I ever spoke to our prop guy, Vidar.
And turns out he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
that's what I found out.
I love this beat so much.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I love Vidar. We speak, okay?
Love
Vidar. That was, I constantly called him like everyone else. Like, you know, and he's just patient with me. I'm like, love Vidar. And he's just like, yeah, like I've never heard that before. Anyway, can we get the work done? I'm like, love Vidar. He's like, okay, come on.
He rolled with it pretty good, though.
So a funny thing about this scene. We shot this originally at the end of... We started shooting at the end of the day. We didn't finish, so we picked it up first thing the next morning. We finished this entire sequence, and it's complicated. I mean, there's visual effects, there's, you know, a fight scene. And then when we finished the scene, we realized that the whole thing was shot on 50 frames per second.
Yeah, slow motion.
Slow motion.
Yeah, yeah. And you should have
including
seen...
Including the dialogue, I was like, just...
And Jean-Paul's face when we talked about how we had to reshoot
because he was really going for it.
Because he was smashing himself into that wall. Like, he was going for it. And he was hurting himself. And you know, to see him sink when they said, yeah, we have to reshoot.
I walked onto set as you guys had just learned the news that was, I love that shot.
Yeah, so it's much. I'm not moving at all, but everything else is.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's
isn't really, that amazing?
So cool. You know what I like about where your storyline goes is that Sally is easily the most kind of happy and go lucky. Like her as a person before she died was actually a pretty fun person to be around. You
both
to
happy and go lucky.
Oh, happy and go lucky. Yeah, both traits.
Yeah.
And the thing is that as the show gets darker, we get to see these different things. This vengeful side that starts coming out. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting stuff.
Should be interesting season two to see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see where your character goes.
Yeah, there's ways to go.
A lot of this had to be looped because they were making a lot of noise, obviously shaking the house.
Yeah, which was done half manually and half with motors that were attached to the walls and the lamps.
How did they make you not shake?
I don't know.
I simply don't know.
Nora.
You're simply
too attractive.
Is that... That's coming up in a later episode.
No.
I can lip sync his...
No, we already did that.
Oh, we already did that?
Oh, wait, did we?
Yeah. You guys did it, the bar scene, right?
You're simply
no,
too
no, no,
attractive.
No, we didn't do it.
I don't think we've done it yet. That.
That's episode 8.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be able to...
That's coming up.
Oh.
We'll be able to relive the magic. This was fun to do. Although, you know what's interesting is who said this? There was some writer, famous writer or director who said you can't write panic. And basically our writers here, this whole thing that I say at the end, what do we the people eat?
Right.
Well, that was something that was ad-libbed on the set, and it actually became a phone call to the writers and all these things, and
that was like one of your first, I mean, not that there were many, but that was like a battle. I remember
it was.
That.
It was, and they really wanted me to do it as written.
Your first battle.
And they wrote as written. They had like, well, dot, dot, what do, you know, like they wrote out the panic, and it's like, you know, you can't write panic. You can't do that. You can't actually, actually, this is Frank Oz that said this. I just recently saw Frank Oz say, and he was shooting something, he was directing something, and this character was supposed to panic. And the writer wanted him to say it as written. It's like, no, you can't write someone stammering their way through something.
You know what?
You can use it as a guideline, but and try to get a few of those words
here's the deal.
Correct, the idea of it, but, you know.
I have written the word panic so many times.
You can't
write,
yeah, but... And
I swear to God, if I had a nickel for every time
you
wrote in
panic... But you're good like that.
No.
You know how to do these things.
But is it spell?
But
spell it?
What was satisfying about that is basically I had ad-libbed panic, and then I did panic as written,
right.
And they used the ad-libbed panic, thank God. And it's like, you know, it's just a little bit,
right.
You know, more interesting.
I like that she smokes.
Me too.
I mean, you know, not that I condone smoking, but you so rarely see people smoking on TV.
And she just seems like the kind of girl.
They're still
out
there.
Like smokes.
They are. What's that?
They're still out there,
the smokers. But they're all going to die.
There's a few. Okay. There's only a few.
They're
going
down. Thanks.
they're dying, one by one.
I do like the scene between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. I like shooting it too. It was real quiet.
Yeah, I was watching it on the monitor. I was watching it with Charles Bienaimé, and we were playing the game Kill, Fuck, Marry.
That's right.
Which is where you choose someone from the crew or cast, and you say you name three people, and out of those three people, you say who do you want to kill, who do you want to fuck, and who do you want to marry.
So what you're saying basically is that while he was doing hard work, you and the director were just messing around.
Yeah.
Good time.
I got a lot of kill then fuck. That was 9 out of 10 people chose me for that one.
Right.
Which I found unfortunate because I was like, I should at least be alive when you're fucking me.
By the way, I really do love Alison Lauder in these episodes. She's so natural.
She's very natural.
It's natural in a shirt and no pants. But I'll say this, when her character is drunk later on in the episode, and we'll bring this up later, she kind of stayed in character more than we would have liked.
She did. Well, I mean, it was funny. It was like, 'cause
it was
she's
really
supposed
funny.
To be like really drunk and annoying,
And so between takes, she stayed with it. It really worked. But I'll tell you what, that certainly helped. You see it in the scene, so that's the wonderful thing.
Yeah, it really worked.
It was very effective.
It was very effective.
No. This is you're trying to talk her into doing something.
Yeah,
rash.
I think I'm feeling the the little revenge bug, and I'm trying to project it onto her too. I like the scene. I like when you come in and we talk.
Yeah,
I don't like it. What if we just started a few scenes with like
this never worked.
I remember
this scene never worked. This scene did not work.
Even when we were shooting it, I knew I was going to hate it. And sure enough, here it is.
This is the classic look of Aiden, like, knowing that Sally's up to something.
How's this? No, hey, I have a question. Hold on.
Yes.
Wait, stop!
No!
Stop it! Explain something to me.
Yes.
You're eating an apple.
Yes.
Talk.
He only picked up the apple because she was there and he wanted to sort of strike up a conversation with her sister. It was actually an ad-lib from ADR where I go, it's an apple.
Wait, really?
And I grab the apple.
That's hilarious.
And take a bite into it. Yeah. That Aiden is trying to, look, I'm a regular person. Notice he's not eating it now because he doesn't need it.
So what happens? Can he digest an apple? Like, what's up with
it? He just craps it out as is.
That's actually a really good question.
Do vampires poop?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, boy. The souls of their victims.
Exactly. That's exactly
how so, though?
That's exactly right.
What
the souls
pooping?
Of their victims. They can eat food and they can deal with the food. It's just that the food does nothing for them at all, nutritionally or taste-wise or anything. So they will do this for appearance, and that's why he has the apple, basically.
But that is a good question. How do you excrete that? Because it's got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Unless you just have a butt. Like, do you have to have
it?
He
must have a horrible stomach ache.
Yeah. All the time.
Right, exactly.
It's got to come out somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe you puke it up later.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah, a little
that I'd
fur ball. A little vampire.
You're like...
The
don't remember
unglamorous... aspect of being
because they can't digest the food is actually still good
exactly
when it comes up.
It actually just preserves it perfectly.
Yes, preserved food. Like if let's say you had a steak that you wanted to keep good, and you just have
exactly. Hey, can you eat this real quick?
Yeah. Let me know when you want it. And I'll crap it up. It's disgusting.
I'll hurl this back for you.
Oh God, I can't believe we're actually talking. Yeah, we're really adding value to this episode.
Oh, this was one of those scenes.
The redemption scene.
Yeah. This was the scene where I actually.
Oh yeah.
Sealed the deal, but
trying to clarify.
Ew. But I remember when we were shooting the scene, I like couldn't. I was like not happy with what I was doing, and now I watch the scene. And I actually think it's
quite good.
It's quite good.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those scenes.
Was this the scene that you were hoping to have more assistance from Charles and you didn't? I mean, there was some scene where you wanted more from Charles in terms of what the hell am I doing, and turns out you didn't need it because you're so freaking talented.
I'd trust the Charles Miname. I would trust him to the end of the earth.
Charles had a really interesting style. Did we talk about his directing style in terms of working with the actors?
Yeah, I think you talked about it last episode.
We did. It's really.
Is this his? Yeah, that's right. This is.
I loved working with Charles because of the way that he went about. I think we already talked about it.
Yeah,
right?
We did.
Yeah, we did. And this is his second episode. So next episode that we'll be commentating will be Jeremiah Chichik's episode.
Machichik.
Oh, Machichik. By the way, Hagerbaum still so good. She's so good.
Look at that ponytail.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
It's an effortless ponytail.
Effortless.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
she
and still I with a certain amount of did that really work?
Yeah, exactly. She and I would have literally the whitest children ever.
Now she doesn't. Her shirt look a little bit like a Star Trek uniform.
I always said about Bridget's wardrobe that she looked as though she was either on her way to or just coming from a game of bridge. Which is why they probably named her Bridget.
Right.
She just got shit-faced with like a bunch of 46-year-old women. And, ow.
Okay, so...
She's coming from a book.
We start to see a pretty violent side of Giampaolo here, which I liked that... Because I never saw that he would be this threatening when we first started working with him.
Yeah,
he's great.
I feel like in the British series, I watched the first episode recently, and you kind of go, yeah, this guy killed her.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, a little bit. I mean, he's really good.
I wonder, that probably was on purpose, though, too.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, you know. It's
oh, P.S. Love this scene.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorites.
Oh, with you, right, you show up.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, look, I synced my finger presses were synced entirely with the frame thing.
Were they really?
Yeah, I had to practice that a lot to get it right.
You're full of shit. I swear it!
I love how Sally just appears in people's rooms.
Yep.
Like, I could have been doing anything.
Yeah, literally.
Listen, this is Sally's room.
She could have been standing there.
This was your
room.
This
was my room before I died, so I can do whatever the hell I want.
Do you ever, you, like, obviously spend a lot of time, like, sitting, laying.
Yeah.
Right? So, do you actually, like, rest? Do you think you ever, like, close your eyes and you're like,
no,
this feels good.
Yeah,
this feels good just to chill.
No, she doesn't sleep.
She doesn't sleep. She doesn't sleep, right?
No.
So
bodily function,
right.
So she doesn't have a need.
Well, we've already kind of established that when she poops, it's marshmallows
right,
coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
it's like the movie Hop,
but it's funny. Sally's often perched on top of things, sitting on counters and whatnot, and I tend to do that in my normal life too.
Which is probably why Sally is perched, because you perch her.
Yeah, I perch her. I do that to her. And, like, even when Pat says, like, oh, you want to come in the kitchen with me and Sally up on the counter?
That's awesome. Oh, that's hilarious, really?
Yeah.
You are actually always kind of, like, popping squat.
Yeah, well, look at me right now.
Yeah, you're just still sitting.
Now, Aiden will actually, you know, we talked about how Aiden will actually tell Sally a little bit about what's going on with him. Because he says to you, hey, it'll mess with your karma, this will happen, that will happen. He's talking about himself. He's talking about... what he has learned, and he's transmitting it to you. He would never say that to Josh, because Josh would go, wait, why are you saying, what did you do?
Right.
But I think Sally also has a way of kind of getting it out of it.
Absolutely,
well,
she does.
It's the girl dynamic, too, isn't
it?
Yeah. It's what you add to the show.
Girls,
well, Sally,
two girls in a room.
Hey. Just me and Sally. Just two girls. Just gabbing away.
Girl talk!
This is the scene. This is the scene right here.
Oh, yeah,
where she's like, starts clapping.
She was like that between takes.
Yeah. This was whoa! Stop! Oh God, stop!
Yeah. Look, I'm getting her too from behind.
Yeah.
I just rolled my eyes.
And I almost just punched her. So this scene was tough because, like, I walk into the room. I've got the flowers. I've got a grocery bag. There were like 90 things that I had to do. The blocking was really tricky, and I had to fill the thing, and I had to do the thing. It was hard to keep the continuity straight, and have the line where I'm supposed, you know,
you,
over next
by
to
the
Sally.
Way, you're very good at that. I've been watching you whenever you have
props.
I'm being totally.
We
sincere.
Already had sex. You can
okay.
stop kissing my
leg. Okay, you're fine.
You're fine. Thank you, Kristen Hager. Looking.
I like when we have guests
adorable.
In our house.
Oh,
I know, right?
You're adorable.
This might be our. No, we had this right. We had the Neighborhood Watch. But that was different.
Yeah, that was different. I like when we have, like, one person.
Yeah.
Two in this case.
Right.
Should be noted, some of these scenes are really ambitious because you have a lot of characters.
I love this. I could
this
not
is
laugh.
So, this was so hard to keep a straight... I mean, I didn't have to keep a straight face, but for you...
That was good. These scenes are...
I was really hard-pressed. I was really... Yeah.
So the way they shoot these things is there's no music, or they'll have like a guide track that they'll play for 5 seconds, and it's the worst thing you've ever heard in your life. So the extras could keep moving to a certain rhythm, and they'd stay with that. So it's just a bunch of silent people walking around.
Hey, you know, okay, guess what? You know that guy who walks by, and I'm like, oh, cute boys or human boys or whatever.
Yeah,
you'll see like right here. This. Wait.
Not that.
Here
guy.
It is. Here, well, it's coming.
That was a chick.
All right.
Stop making me wait for it.
First of all, there he is. That guy. First of all, I got to pick who I wanted. Out of
that's
all.
True. She did.
I was like,
she did.
Pick my human
that's actually
boy.
Real.
So he wasn't my first choice. Oh God damn it!
Standby. You're talking. Hold on.
I guess I did need to say that he wasn't my first choice. Anyways, I went to see used Source Code yesterday, and he was an extra in it. I'm like, that is a human boy.
Oh, really?
That's amazing.
And you know what? A lot, because Source Code was shot in Montreal, a lot of the extras in that movie are being human extras. There's a bunch of vampires I saw.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's pretty cool.
I love our vampire extras because they look like real people.
Yeah.
They none of them are wearing leather pants. They don't necessarily have sharp cheekbones. They look like real people, which again, like, kind of hammers home.
Hammers
I'm going to stick with it.
Go, dude. I'm
hammers home. The hammer home, hammerhead. It basically makes the whole metaphor of addiction that anyone could be hiding that problem from the world.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting. And essentially, we want to make the vampires in this show a little bit grittier, kind of uncomfortable, you know, like Bishop's deal is it's a low-rent mafia family, and that you can't necessarily kill someone without any kind of consequences. You need to call the cleanup crew, you have to do all these things. It's not... Our show is not cool to be a vampire.
No.
It actually kind of sucks.
Yeah. Stop, don't touch me, Megan. I remember when we were shooting the scene, I was both very, very happy to be sitting there with Kristen Hager shooting the scene because she was bringing it, and I really, really enjoyed this scene, how it was written and how it was actually being, you know, how it was coming to fruition. And also so happy that I wasn't at this location. I was, like, so psyched that I didn't have to be at the club. Yeah. I can't even tell you, because I knew it was going to be, like, a hardcore shoot. And, like, every time there's, like, hundreds of extras, it's, like... It's just, you know, God bless them. They're amazing people. But, like, it just gets really hard. It gets hard for the ADs because they have to shepherd them and they have to block them. And so it takes a really long time.
Was this... Sarah, was this hardcore? What did we... It seemed pretty easy.
Yeah,
but then,
it was... Yeah. I think we were dealing with, a very small portion.
Right,
sure.
Sort of off to the side.
Yeah. Sure.
This was hard for us, too, because the extras can't touch me. And, you know, a lot of the show hadn't aired yet, and they didn't really understand the concept. And so they were told that I was a ghost and that they couldn't touch me. But there's also a balance between not touching me and then walking by avoiding me. So they had to, you know...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had to explain to them what the situation was.
You always seem to pop up.
Oh.
There she is.
Just when it's just the right time to mess with Amy.
My favorite is, can I play?
Which, with a child nearby, is really threatening.
Yeah, it is.
Nice pants.
Speaking of leather pants.
Were they leather?
No, they were just...
spray painted.
They were pleather.
They
leather.
Right on you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It was body paint.
I wear them all the time at home.
I
remember trying to find my leg in this scene.
Yes.
Well, there were like 90 of them. No, they were all different colors. Look at that. Look at the different
colors. Yeah. Like, which light would you like me to find?
Exactly.
Yeah. But apparently, I just managed to most of the time find the one shadow.
My nose.
When there's too many lights, you just find your shadow.
Yeah. Find my shadow.
Yeah.
I called it going green.
Yeah, you were going. That's right, Sarah.
That's right.
I'm going.
No, Sarah was okay. So she couldn't get her light for, you know, because this was really difficult. She couldn't find her light, and so she kept finding herself in the shadows. And I think Charles might have been a little bit impatient. So Sarah just goes, "Look, man, I'm just trying to go green. I'm just trying to save energy."
Oh my god.
She's like, "Check this out. This bottle is going recycling. I'm trying to.
This is
a green shoot, Charles.
Very green."
Or that was, you know, that cracked him up, and everyone left her alone then, because it was for whatever reason it was really difficult in that scene to.
With all those lights.
Yes. Yeah, which one is mine? Yeah, exactly.
Such a tough life we have.
Going green.
This is the first time we make contact here. Oh my god!
Wait
for me. Literally, like.
And by contact, he means tongues and mouths.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man! Just making contact.
Oh, my God. Just making a little contact.
Oh, by the way, so the temp music that they had here, not temp music, but the music they had for the extras to get the rhythm.
It takes everything.
Was just, I wish, because it was like, literally, they're like, all right, play the music, and you get the... You do that, but the actual music was and you're just like totally antithetical to the mood of the scene. You remember that?
That is awesome.
That is so funny.
You're just like, what the fuck
Can we just not have the music, please?
Really, really hard.
Me and Sarah are supposed to...
We're trying to get into something.
We're supposed to have this moment where we're just dying for each other, and there's just the stupidest...
I love that.
Oh, God.
I think that's hilarious. I think that's honestly hilarious.
It was terrible. Yeah, but honestly, it was distracting. Like, it couldn't decide what it was...
Can I just say, I really like this scene. I like how you guys aren't looking at each other. It's almost more intimate. That I don't know. I really like it. Was that a directing thing, or did you guys
it could have been a camera angle thing?
I think it was just how you guys. Yeah, I think it was just the fact that you guys really disliked each other and didn't want to look at each other.
I don't really.
That's
even,
my theory.
Even when I have a scene where I'm looking at someone in the eyes, I don't actually look at.
No, no.
Because
yeah.
why? You're just gonna mess me up.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Mess me up.
I only look at one eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I choose an eye.
It's less human that way.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, you know, it's funny. Speaking of not looking, everyone has worked with those actors who you feel like they could do it with a wall and
right.
They would be somewhat great, but, like, you actually get them with another actor and they don't know what to do. They're just kind of like, well, you know, and they have a plan of how they want the scene to go.
Right.
And anything you do that deviates from that plan, you can watch them get frustrated.
Right.
Which basically what that means is they're not an actor.
Sure.
You know, some people audition extraordinarily well because they are so good at playing back in their head what it is that they plan
but
on.
But also, auditioning is a skill on its own.
Yes.
Because
really,
some people audition amazingly, and,
yeah.
You know, when they get on set, it's not...
Listen,
right?
I think that's kind of exactly what Sam just said.
Oh, boy.
Listen, you know what?
I don't fucking listen to Sam.
Here's the deal. I mean, it is true, though, that some people are just really good at auditioning, but then you get them on set, and it's like, wait a minute.
Did we cover that?
Yeah, I think here's the deal. Like, I think all three of us have said it now, so I think we're covered.
Wait, Sarah, what do you...
Well, some people can audition in a room, but then you get...
In a room.
Yeah, in a room.
In a room, alone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're not actors.
Listen.
But they work all the time.
I like this as a... harbinger of things that come for Sally, where she starts getting ideas of how she can really become
evil.
Evil.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, I really like where the darkness is going with Sally, because I feel like, you know, she's a go-lucky.
Right.
She's both happy and
go-lucky.
She's both things.
But also, there is a darkness in everybody, and that's what I love.
But
she's really well-rounded, and it's fun to play all those different sides of a person.
I like that the actress they hired is taller than you, because it makes you seem like you're looking up to a big sister going, cool!
She's massive. That's
she
the
is. Yeah, she is.
She's massive.
She's
6'8",
or something like that?
I think she's 7'4". She plays in the WNBA.
She's also wearing heels, and I have my
classic
ballet
class. Puts her at close to 8 feet.
And do you know, I am standing on an apple box.
Are you really?
Yeah. And guys, like, let this be known that I'm not a short girl.
No, she's not.
I'm 5'6".
Here's the deal.
I'm not short.
Dio is 8'6". Dio has a good 3 feet on her. She literally, in heels, she's 11 feet tall. She is literally...
Her ancestors.
You are like a Lilliput when it does.
Yeah.
What is a Lilliput?
In Gulliver's Travels, you're like a little tiny person.
Oh my God, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard you say while watching the makeout
with
someone.
Lilliput. That's what I actually told Kristen Hager to turn around. And, like, get into it. Lilliput. She's like, oh, say put. I was like, oh, Lilliput. Just so you got no
say put again.
Say put. Lilliput. Say, oh,
because we shoot in a French
country. Exactly.
Country.
Yeah. You guys get it.
We shoot in Montreal. That's a French going on there. Is this... Okay, so Sally interrupts you getting it on, and then it's like your sister comes home and she's bleeding, and you're like, dude.
Right, exactly.
Spoiler alert.
And then I start making out with my sister.
And it's like,
he's back from a bridge game.
She's on break from bridge right now. She actually has to go back to the bridge.
She has to beam up to the starship to play bridge with the captain.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is the event coordinator on the starship.
And the Enterprise. Yeah.
So I think from up to to this point.
There's a science officer, exactly. Communications chief, the event coordinator.
Dude, you don't think they party on the
network? Oh, they party hardcore. Dude, Shatner couldn't keep his hands off.
No.
Bridget.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think up to this point, Sally's been sort of resentful of Bridget.
Yes, and then she sees.
And this is the first time that she sees the bruise. There it is. And, I think she's, feeling sorry for her and realizes that she's just another one getting sucked into the vortex that is Danny.
I find your storyline to be so, I remember reading a lot of things online with young women totally relating to the metaphor of your story. And I love that because it's a story that needs to be told about, abusive relationships. I mean, people get into these things, and this is one way to talk about it. This is sad because you're finally ready to come clean, and you're actually being completely honest with me. And now that I've gotten what I wanted, I'm afraid of it. I don't really know what to do with it. And
here's the thing: when you got it,
you can get it.
You can get it. When you get it, you got it.
You got it.
And then you can get it. Can you get it?
I want to explain during the credit sequence what that means to the audience. What was your take on this scene in terms of?
I love shooting this scene. I really did.
Well, thanks.
It was an easy one to do. We were given a lot of space, and
we had no time to shoot it.
There was no light to hit, actually.
So we weren't failing anyone.
Yeah.
We had to shoot this really fast, though.
Yeah.
They set up the cameras. We had an hour to shoot this.
Yeah.
There's no time.
Including rehearsal and everything, but it was so simple, and it was... Charles just let us kind of play.
Charles.
That's really... That's very sad what ends up happening to you here, because that, again, it doesn't... it...
Oh my god!
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Yo, I'll buzz you up.
John Palafanuta is coming.
He's on his way. That was him.
He is
here.
The man is here.
Sammy.
Yeah.
Say boom.
Oh my god. Oh. Wait a minute, she's still here.
Oh, what a bummer.
Dude, I thought she was gone.
Oh my god. Why are you all bleeding on me?
Welcome back, Allison Lauda.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, I want to say the whole can you get it because you can get it. There's a story about episode one with Sammy. He's in the dress in episode one, when he had to change into a werewolf, or it changed back, he was naked, and he steals a dress from a clothesline, and he ends up walking, and you were getting into the car, and that's when I'm passing you the water, and the this, and the that, and Sammy discovered, as he stepped into the car, that he could shake his thigh. And it would shake as he kind of hit his thigh with his hand. Thigh would shake.
Yeah, jiggle.
And then he saw that it was in the viewfinder.
Right.
And so Sammy, for the rest of that shoot in the car, as he's getting in, and he goes, "Hey, did you get it?
Hey, Fonz.
Did you get it? Hey, Fonz, did you get it?
Yeah.
Did you get my thigh jiggling as I got in the car?
Can you get this? Like, are you getting it?
And then for the rest of the shoot, for the 5 or 6 months, it was, "Hey, can you get it?
Can you get it?
Can you get it? Can you get it?
Can
you get it?
Can you get it? Can you get it?
Which you have to imagine him saying that with his thigh shaking,
literally
him literally jiggling his thigh.
Because it was loose, it was real loose. There was no part of it that was like engaged. My leg was relaxed completely.
Can you get it? Because you can get it.
Thanks for watching our commentary.
Thank you.
That was episode 6.
There was a character that was just called Rebecca's Male.
What? Wait.
Oh, that was the guy in the video.
Yeah.
Do they know me? Bye, guys. Love you.
Here.
You were in L.A.
Hey, how's it going?
Been on the beach.
I